radio's biggest event of the year.
Garbo is on the air.
The same Garbo who has refused a king's ransom to appear on commercial radio broadcasts. Only through special arrangements with the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studio are we privileged to present Miss Garbo in a program we dedicate to her newest screen achievement, Conquest. Supporting Miss Garbo is Charles Boyer, co-star in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's wonder film, Conquest, the immortal love story of Marie Walewska and Napoleon. We open our program with the Conquest Overture, as played by the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Symphonic Orchestra under the direction of Herbert Stoppard.
At the turn of the 18th century, the proud little country of Poland has failed to win the favor of Napoleon, favor she so needs to protect invasion by her traditional enemy, Russia. Desperate, a group of Polish noblemen pay an unusual call at the castle of the aged Count Walewska and his young and beautiful wife, Marie.
What sacrifice for Poland can we make with honor, gentlemen, that we've not already made, that our sons and grandsons have not already made?
Are you suggesting that I can succeed while the Polish legions have failed? Is that true, gentlemen?
Yes. My dear Count, my dear Madam, believe me and forgive us. We have suffered agonies before we came to you.
So this is the degradation we've been forced to by the will of one man.
My dear child, I am an old man, I may call you that. Believe me, if we could have spared you this, we would have given our lives, as we have given our goods and our pride. We've knelt to this man, and he hasn't heard us. Perhaps he will hear you. We came to you because we believe the destiny of Poland has been put into your hands. If that is so, you cannot be dishonored. Perhaps you have been made beautiful, that Poland might be made free. You are a woman. Napoleon is, after all, only a man.
Gentlemen, I did not wish to disturb my wife by demanding in her presence which one of you is responsible for this outrageous visit. Which one of you I must fight.
My dear old friend, you may kill us all. In a desperate hour, we held our country's honor dearer than your own. It is your country too, Anastas.
Why is it every time this savage spits, every decent man must wipe his face? I assure you, gentlemen, Countess Walewska will think of this afternoon as part of our nightmare. Something to be charitably forgotten.
A week passes, and Marie Walewska, fired with patriotism, while at the same time attracted by the glamour that surrounds Napoleon, keeps a rendezvous with the Emperor.
Why didn't you come a week ago? After my first letter.
I'm afraid Your Majesty misunderstands.
I understand perfectly. You have chosen to play the coquette with me.
Oh, I had no idea of playing the coquette, sire.
So much the better. I prefer coquetry when it is instinctive. But now you must make amends. You've made me woo you. A whole week. A week of hours that might have been filled with happiness for us both. You are the only woman whose favor I have ever begged for.
I understand how difficult it must be for you to beg. Why, even I, sire, and my...
You are shy, Marie. This is not your first love affair. Or is it?
I've had no love affair, sire.
None?
I have only one love, sire. My country. Oh, help us, sire. Put in your hands. Don't let a proud people beg in vain for what's rightfully theirs. We're desperate. You're powerful. Help us, sire.
Who sent you?
I love my country, sire.
Who sent you?
Why, no one, sir. You sent for me.
And you came, Mary. That is enough.
Oh, I implore you.
You're lovely.
Call it a whisper fate. This meeting wrote the first chapter of a love story that was to change the entire map of Europe. A love story that survives today as the most vital romance of truth or legend. Josephine no longer holds Napoleon's favor, their marriage having been dissolved in Rome. Mary, too, is free after a divorce from the elderly Count Walewska. Napoleon and Marie are completely happy.
I love you, Mary. I had a confession to make. Against my will, I love you.
I have so little will.
That was enough. And another confession. I tried to put you out of my mind.
I forgive you.
I couldn't. Ah, Mary. One really dares only when one is happy. Unhappiness is the only death. The other is merely locking of an empty house. Now, I can achieve my dream.
Of more glory? Haven't you enough?
Of eternal peace.
Eternal peace?
Yes, I want to achieve the impossible. Peace in Europe. I want to destroy forever that wavering balance of power that means war with every tilt of the scale.
When will it all end?
It will end when we have a united Europe. Not an alliance of kings made over a table by cunning diplomats. A commonwealth of nations.
Polish heroes fought for such a dream under Washington in America.
The United States of Europe. There is a new idea abroad in the world. The idea of democracy. We are human beings first, and races and nations afterwards. I want a federated Europe with a common law, a common interest, a common happiness, a common hope for the future. In such a Europe, Poland too will lift her head.
I believe in you.
I need you.
I shall never long for spring again.
Come with me.
I warn you, sire.
Of what?
I've always known that I would love only once. Do you want a love like that? A love that will last forever?
Come with me, Mary.
I will walk the byways and the back roads of the world gladly to be near you. For as long as you want me.
I have signed many treaties. But this is the first time I am at peace.
Days brimming with happiness follow, until Napoleon, mad with power, acting upon the advice of his treacherous Prime Minister Talleyrand, determines to arrange a political marriage to a Habsburg, Princess Maria Luisa. Marie Walaska receives the news with a broken heart.
Mary, I need you. I need your love. I need your understanding.
Whatever you want of me, I shall find to give you.
I am determined to found a dynasty. I must have an heir. I have decided to marry a princess of one of the royal houses of Europe. I must become one of them. I must mingle my blood with theirs. Think. A son of Napoleon, born of Habsburg blood. It is arranged. It is a fact.
This is the end.
The end? Nonsense.
You lied. To yourself and to what you promised to the world. To all those who died for you, believing in a new Europe, you lied. They are betrayed, and I am betrayed.
I cannot modify my entire policy to suit your feelings.
Power has conquered you. These are your kind now. These Habsburg faces, bloodless and cruel. But dead in life. Death on thrones. What a pity. The liberator of Europe has become a son-in-law.
Was it fool to expect understanding from a woman? You will see. Russia will see. England will see. Whether I am the slave of power or its master. Why are you staring at me like that?
Because I'm looking at you for the first and last time.
Our limited time prevents presentation during this broadcast of the many other fascinating episodes in the romance of Marie Walaska and Napoleon. Episodes brought to vivid life in the motion picture Conquest. Also, it denies us the privilege of bringing to you the many action-filled scenes of Conquest, dramatic highlights in the surge of Napoleon to power, and finally to defeat at Waterloo and exiled to St. Helena. To summarize the remarks of famed motion picture critics who already have seen Clarence Brown's production of Conquest, we can only say,
just as we were sure the screen had reached the fullness of its powers, new wonders come.
Conquest is just this, a new cinematic wonder, costliest production ever made, and stirring beyond words. On this program, you have heard Greta Garbo and Charles Boyer, and the music of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Symphonic Orchestra under the direction of Herbert Stothart.